أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اجعل أعمالنا خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها حظا لغيرك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, I think you guys need to stretch again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
alaikum salam. I'm a little bit intimidated to be standing there, because my teacher was standing here last night. And other people were speaking who were much more appropriately positioned when they were here. But alhamdulillah, I was given a task and I hope to try and fulfill that being later on. I would like to start off by just reciting a short passage of the Quran and doing a little bit of an experiment. Right? So let's see. I want you to listen attentively. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى إِلَّا تَذْكِرَةً لِمَنْ يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وَإِن تَجَهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى صدق الله العظيم. So from the outset I want ourselves to ask, for each and every one of us to ask ourselves a question. How much did that recitation of Quran impact me? What will that recitation of Quran force me to do? How did it impact me? Okay, tell me, how did it impact me? The reality is that for most of us, the impact is minimal. We might have heard something that sounded nice, okay, there was a little bit of flow in it. Alhamdulillah, we say wow because we know that it's Quran. But how much did it really impact my life? How much did it change the course of my life? Those very same verses that I just recited moments ago, they were heard by a man. And all of us know that man today. But back then when he heard these verses, he was on his way to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was on his way to kill the man who said these words. His mind was set. He was going to kill that man. And on his way, he happened to be diverted a bit to his sister, and he heard these verses. And on hearing these verses of the Quran being recited, or on reading them himself, he then decided to change his course of action. Instead of wanting to kill the person who was reciting these verses, he decided, no, I want to meet this person and accept his religion. And that person became known as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if there were to be a prophet after me, then Umar would have been that man. But prophethood is complete. He was the person who became the second greatest man after the Anbiya. Merely because of hearing these verses of the Quran. And the reality for most of us is that the Quran will not have that impact for us. It will not have that impact. It will not be that meaningful to us. Because we just don't know what is being said. I give you another incident. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was preaching his message in Mecca to the Quraysh, to the people that were present there, and it was creating upheaval in society. He was changing the complete way of life for everyone, and the leaders obviously didn't like that. So it so happened that one of the chiefs, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he went into the Masjid al-Haram and he saw Rasulullah sitting in one side of the mosque, and he was on one side of the mosque, and he asked his people, "Oh my people, would you not have me go and speak to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He didn't obviously say that, but would you have me go and speak to him and give him some offerings, that if he were to accept these things, we might be free of the problem that he is posing us. And so he goes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he offers him, "Oh Muhammad, if the objective of what you are saying is that you want to attain worldly gains, then we will make you our wealthiest man. If it is that you want women by what you are saying, we will marry you to the best of us. If you want leadership and power, we will make you our leader and the leader of all of the Arabs. We will give you all of them." And he went on offering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam things. And Rasulullah sallallahu responded to him and he said, "Oh Utbah, have you now completed?" And when he said, "Yes, I'm finished," then he said, "Will you now listen to me? I want to say something in response. Will you not listen to me?" And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on and he didn't answer from himself, but he recited some verses of the Quran. And those verses are in Surah Fussilat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he recites some verses of Surah Fussilat, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, as I'm going to return to this point a bit later, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is Qur'anan Arabiya, that this is an Arabic Qur'an. But we will get to that in a moment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on and he recites some verses of Surah Fussilat until he gets to a certain point. And some of the narrations, the incident is mentioned in Ma'arif al-Quran, and there's an English copy of that translation that you can read, it will be beneficial for you. And he cites Ibn Ishaq as mentioning, or the other narration, actually Al-Baghawi as narrating, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these verses of Quran to Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, his mannerism started changing. He placed his hand on the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, stop reciting. Don't make us hear this. And he went back to his people and he said to them something. This was the opponent of Islam and he died in opposition to Islam. But he went back to his people and he told them, "Inni sami'tu qawlan wallahi ma sami'tu mithlahu qattu." Oh my people, indeed I have heard some speech, and by Allah, ma sami'tu mithlahu qattu, I have never heard the like of it ever. These were the 7th century Arabs in the peak of eloquence. He said, "I have never heard the like of these words ever." He said, "Wallahi, ma huwa bis-sihri wala bis-shi'ri wala bil-kahana." What he's saying, it's not magic, nor is it poetry, nor is it soothsaying. "Ya ma'shar Quraysh, ati'uni wa ja'aluha li." Oh, people of Quraysh, leave this matter to me. And obey me and leave this matter to me. "Khallu bayna rajul wa bayna ma huwa fihi fa'tazilu." Leave that man and what he's calling to. Just distance yourself from leaving. "فَوَاللَّهِ لَيَكُونَنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي سَمِعْتَ نَبَاوَ." Indeed, for the words that he is mentioning, there will come a time of prominence for you. "فَإِن تَصُبُّهُ الْعَرَبُ فَقَدْ كَفَيْتُمُوهُ بِغَيْرِكُمْ." If you are to abuse him today and you are to sway him today, then he will suffice himself with people other than you. وَإِن يَظْهَرَ عَلَى الْعَرَبِ فَمُلْكُهُ مُلْكُكُمْ. And if that happens, or if it happens by the hands of the Arabs, that the Arabs are the ones to assist him in giving over this message of the Quran, then his dominion will be your dominion, his kingdom will be your kingdom. وَعِزُّهُ وَعِزُّكُمْ, and his honor will be your honor. وَكُنْتُمْ أَسْعَرُ النَّاسِبِينَ, and you people will be the most happy people with whom you would have gained from him the most. This is the impact that some verses of Quran had on the person who was most opposed to Islam. He stood to lose his power because of Islam. He stood to lose his rank in society because of this Quran. But this is what he had to say about it. And many of the opponents of the Quran, Walid, when he heard the Quran, he was sent to go and hear about this Quran and come back and say bad things about the Quran. That's what he was tasked with. He came back to his people and he couldn't say anything bad. He said, "Innahu la halawa, wa inna alayhi la talawa." This Quran that Muhammad is coming with, it's sweet words. There's a cap of excellence on it. What Allah speaks about him in the Quran, he says, "Innahu fakkara wa qaddar, fa qutila kayfa qaddar, thumma qutila kayfa qaddar, thumma nazar, thumma abasa wa basar." ثم أدبر واستكبر فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر إن هذا إلا قول بشر سأصليه سقر وما أدراك ما سقر لا تبقي ولا تذر لواحة للبشر عليها 19 إلى آخر. But these were the opponents of Islam. He came, he heard the Quran and he heard the excellence of the Quran. And he knew it to be excellent. But because of the worldly losses, he decided to turn away from that and he decided to make up other things, other excuses and say, no, this is only magic. This is the words of human beings, etc. But that was the impact that the Quran had on people who never ever accepted Islam. What about those people who say that this Quran is a miracle? What impact should that Quran have on us? And how will it have that impact on us? We'll get to that in a moment. The second thing that I must mention, as was mentioned by my teacher last night, Mawlana Taha, as well as Sheikh Riyad, that this Quran is our miracle. This Quran is our miracle. We might think that Isa alayhi salam, he could cure the born blind. Subhanallah, that's cool. Musa alayhi salam could throw down his stick and split the sea. Why didn't Rasulullah have a miracle like that? That's cool. What does he get? Some words that we say. Who even likes reading? That's the reality of the thought sometimes. I thought it to myself when I was a bit younger. And I didn't know Arabic. Those guys had really big miracles. This is our miracle. You see, Sheikh Riyad alluded to this point when he spoke about the mu'ajizah that the Prophet comes with. A miracle that the Prophet produces to attest to the fact that he is in fact the Prophet of Allah. But the reality with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that he had a message, and the message itself was the miracle. The message itself was the miracle. Such that as long as that message continues to be relayed, the miracle remains. The miracle remains. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many places in the Quran that this Quran is حُكْمًا عَرَبِيًّا قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا غَيْرَ ذِي عِوَجٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. It's an Arabic Quran. It's an Arabic Quran. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that it is the Quran and Arabian, it means that is the sifa of the Quran. It is its quality. It cannot be anything else. It's not English. It's not Arabic. It's not Afrikaans. So did I say not Arabic? Yeah. It is Arabic. It's not anything other than Arabic. And that's a very, very important point to note. Translations of the Quran, they have a role to play, and they give access to people who don't yet have access to the Arabic language. But should that be the end of our journey? You see, from learning the English or reading a translation of the Quran, you can somewhat get some of the meanings of the Quran. Some of the meanings of the Quran that were relayed to you or that were translated by a person. So that translation is firstly going to have that person's bias. Secondly, it's not going to convey all the contents of the Quran. Because the Quran is Arabic, and we know that in translation many things are lost. If you say something in Afrikaans and you say the same joke in English, you think like, okay, Joba people, do you guys know Afrikaans? I'm from Cape Town, so we speak Afrikaans. I don't know what you guys speak here. Only English. Yeah, you speak all those other things. Anyways, the point of the thing is, when you translate things, many meanings are lost. And this here is the Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can it be that another person can put all of the meanings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to convey to you in his words in a manner that has the same impact as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted in his speech to him? Is it possible? It's impossible. And that brings us to the point of the i'jaz of the Quran, the miraculous nature of the Quran. You can convey some of the meanings of the Quran, some of the messages of the Quran, but can you convey the miracle of the Quran in another language? You cannot convey the miracle of the Quran in another language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically chose this language of Arabic because of the richness and the depth of the language. And on the way to the airport was Mawlana Taha last night. I told him, Mawlana, you took my whole talk and you said it in 5 minutes also. But he mentioned this, and he said that, you know, there is that aspect of the miraculous nature of the Quran and the depth of the language. And really, you cannot appreciate that until you appreciate the language of the Quran. And that's the Arabic language. For example, I give you the word falah. Falah. What does falah mean? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. What is that word أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ? Many of us might have come across it. That verse of the Quran before. What does it mean? And it tells me success. And in most translations you will find success. To be successful. But did you know that that word falah comes from the word falah, which means a farmer? And so, just knowing that, it adds so much to the depth of the word. The fact that now, success is somewhat of a link to a farmer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about falah, when He speaks about the akhirah. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those whose scales are heavy in the akhirah, those are the muflihun. Those are the successful ones, but it has something to do with the farmer. So now an entire image is created in my mind of someone who sows his seeds. Someone who sows his seeds. And on the day of harvest, he harvests a bumper crop. But did the English word success convey all of that meaning to you? Did the translation give you that? It doesn't give you that. You will not understand that lesson that the scale will only be heavy if you planted the seeds on the day of planting. And now is the time for harvest, and then you will be successful. All of that is lost. Let me think of another example. Allah, He says, wal asr, by time. And if you look in any translation of the Quran, is that not what it says? By time. But did you know the word asr comes from the word asir? And the verb that's connected to it is asura, to press. Asir means juice. Asura means to press, and asr means time. How is it all connected? Why did Allah use the word asr there and not dahr there? Why did Allah not use another word for time there? But Allah specifically used the word asr. And just those that imagery that's connected to the root of that word, it teaches us so many things. What time of the day is asr? The time before Maghrib, right? And when does the Islamic day start? Maghrib, isn't it? So Asr is the last part of the day. And Asir means what? Juice. How do you get the juice? By squeezing the last bits of juice out of a fruit. So there you get squeezing, you get the juice, and you get time, the last bit of time. So what image do you have of time now? Little drips of time that's coming out at the end of the day, the last bits of it that you have. So Allah says, wal asr, by that time that's running out, that last drips of time, inna al-insana lafi khusr, indeed man is in a state of loss. And then he goes on to give the solutions to get yourself out of that state. But would you have understood all of that by just the word time? And I'm going to translate the word dahr exactly as I'm going to translate the word asr. Both of them is going to be time. You don't understand those meanings of them. There are some words like hidayah and rashad. Or irshad. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the one word hidayah. Hidayah means in English, we translate it as to guide. And then you have another word rashad or irshad, which also means to guide. And if you look in any translation of the Quran, they will give both meanings. Hidayah means to guide and irshad means to guide. But some places of the Quran, Allah uses the word hidayah, other places Allah uses the word irshad. Why? What's the difference? Allah is al-Hakim, is He being wasteful and just showing you that He has a large vocabulary? Definitely not. Definitely not. It's precise. That's why Allah uses His words. This Quran, it's a precise Quran. The Arabic language is very precise. No two words are the same. So the connotations of the word hidayah means to guide, but it doesn't mean to just show one the way. It means to take someone along that path. That's why we recite in Surah Fatiha, and Muslims recite in Surah Fatiha. The most pious of Muslims recite in Surah Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite in Surah Fatiha, "Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path." Was he not guided? Definitely he was guided. But what's he asking of Allah? "Oh Allah, you take me on that path of guidance." And in other places he uses the word irshad. And irshad means to guide, but it means to show someone the way. Not to do it for him. Not to pull him along the way, but just to show him the way. So can it really come across in translation? I doubt it. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more. When Allah spoke about the concentric circles in the Quran, palindromic speech that Ustad Nu'man Ali Khan speaks so much about, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something like, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ Ra, وَرَبَّكَ. Just picture it in your mind. رَبَّكَ رَبَّكَ فَكَبَّرَ رَبَّكَ. Is it? I can't hear something. رَبَّكَ فَكَبَّرَ. Another one, وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِ يَسْبَحُونَ وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِ يَسْبَحُونَ. How does that word spell? كُلٌّ كَافْ لَامْ فَا يَامْ فَا لَامْ كَافْ. You see? فَا لَامْ كَافْ يَا كَافْ لَامْ فَا. Is it in your mind? What do you see? In fact, that verse is so beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكٍ. Each one of them, I'll speak about the heavenly bodies, وَكُلٌّ each of them, فِي فَلَكٍ is in its own orbit. Moves in its own orbit.
You can drop.
Okay, I can go. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَك. So what do you see there? Allah speaking about things orbiting. And it's palindromic. Do you see what I'm saying? Now that's a palindrome. But do you even know anyone that speaks in palindromes? It's almost impossible. You only have one chance to say what you want to say. You cannot say it again. You can only say it once. If it comes out wrong, in the slightest way, then that is what is known as the Quran. Is it possible that a human being can do that not just once? وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَكِ يَسْبَحُونَ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. When Allah mentioned Ayatul Kursi, that's an entire verse. In fact, if you look in the surah of the Quran, the beginning is related to the end of the surah, the middle piece is related. And you find this thing happening all the time in the Quran. And it's impossible for humans to speak like that. You only have one chance. You cannot edit your work. You cannot go back and write it down and then tell it to people. When you are asked, you say what comes to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for any other human being, you just have one chance to say it. And that speech must come out palindromically. This guy, his intellect would have to be miraculous. But there is another aspect of the miraculous nature of the Quran. You cannot get it in another language. Because if you translate this into English, you're going to lose that whole palindrome thing. Because وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ is not going to be a palindrome in English. It's going to be and glorify or establish and proclaim the greatness of your Lord. Is that a palindrome? Even if I try and say it a million times, I don't think I'll get it into a palindrome. So, there is something in the Quran that is held in the Arabic. And you cannot get it unless you study the Arabic of the Quran. Right? There's something in it that you cannot get unless you study the Arabic of the Quran. If you merely study translation of the Quran, when hearing the Quran, you will not appreciate the excellence of its language. In fact, I know that personally because I learned and
My learning of the Arabic language was very unnatural. But it was the best possible way at the time. And I think it's still a very good way of learning. But I didn't appreciate these things until much later, when I started reading the Quran and I actually knew a bit more of the language. And now I'm in my fifth year of study, but it's like maybe my seventh year of studying Arabic or dealing with Arabic language. And now these things open up and you appreciate the language more than just what is being said. But you must remember that the Quran itself was the miracle. So the language of the Quran was a miracle. And you can't translate it. So we're left with a conclusion to draw from you. You have to learn the Arabic language. Every single person has to learn the Arabic language. In fact, before I get to that, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahu wa ta'ala, one of the scholars of this deen, he says under his commentary of the verse, وقال الرسول يا ربي إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. He says on the verse where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complaining to Allah. وقال الرسول, and the messenger said, يا ربي, oh my Lord, إن قوم اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Indeed, my people have ran away from this Quran. They have fled from it. He says that this doesn't only refer to the disbelievers who run away from the Quran, who do not accept its authenticity or its truth. He says, Hajar al-Quran anwa'un. There are various types of running away from the Quran. Ahaduhuma hajar sama'ihi wal iman. One of the things, one of the methods of fleeing from the Quran is leaving hearing the Quran and believing it. Wathani hajar al-amal bihi wa iqara'ahu wa amana bihi. Another form of running away from the Quran is leaving, acting upon the Quran, even if you believe in it and you recite it. والثالث هجر تحكيم هجر تحكيمه والتحاكم إليه. Turning away from the Quran as a means of solving your disputes. والرابع هجر تدبره وتفهم معانيه. When you leave pondering over the Quran and looking into the deep meanings of the Quran. والخامس هجر الاستشفاء والتداوي به في جميع أمراض القلوب. And another form of running away from the Quran is leaving, turning to the Quran for cleansing yourself of all the defects and the ailments of the heart. But if we look at ourselves, how many of those forms of migration from the Quran apply to us? How can we really ponder upon the Quran if we don't even understand what is being said? So is that complaint by Rasulullah applying to me? That I am that person that Rasulullah is going to be complaining about? That he's saying, oh Allah, my people have left this Quran and have ran away from it? I need to ensure that I'm not from them. I need to ensure that I'm not from them. So I need to give myself and equip myself with the tools to be able to understand the Quran, to ponder on its meanings, to reflect on it, etc. And that comes from learning the Arabic language. How much time do I have? Can I just take 3 minutes? 2 minutes, okay. So, I don't want to leave with the whole airy-fairy theoretical thing. We need to do something. How do we do it? How do we do it? Now, not everyone has the opportunity to go to an Arab country and stay there. In fact, even if you go stay in an Arab country, they don't speak proper Arabic, so you're not going to learn the Arabic of the Quran. We need to learn Arabic. Alhamdulillah, I come from Cape Town, and so I know the scenario and the environment there. And in fact, I'm involved in teaching Arabic there. So some of our teachers, Mawlana Taha included, another one of my teachers, Mawlana Ali Gowda, they have devised a system whereby they have taken out the essentials of learning the Arabic language, put it into a couple of very thin textbooks, and have created a system whereby you can learn Arabic very quickly, at least the essentials of Arabic, the fundamentals of Arabic, that can allow you to at least understand the most superficial meanings of the Quran. But it provides you with groundwork that you can build on to add depth to your understanding of the Quran. So Darul Aim has its syllabus. And that syllabus is available to anyone. Whoever wants to do it, I'm a teacher there, I'll tell you all the secrets if you want. It's not a secret, we want everyone to know it. In fact. And there are lots of ulama, there are lots of people here in your own midst who know Arabic. All that it takes from you is to have, firstly, ikhlas, as I will get to in a bit. I'll take 10 seconds maybe, inshallah, when I get to that one. But ikhlas, and then to go to those people who have the understanding of Arabic, go to them, and sometimes that's not always the easiest thing to do, but go to them and ask them, look, teach me Arabic. Teach me Arabic. And you know what? These are the things I want to learn in Arabic, and then you give them that Darun Na'im small textbook which comprises of like 20 pages, and then tell them, yeah, just teach me this stuff. If you want it, okay, you have to get it from Darun Na'im. If you want it, you can go on the website of the part-time class that I teach. It's all there. www.dnsi.co.za. It's like four letters. So, it's four letters, you can't forget it. dnsi.co.za. And we upload all our classes and stuff over there. If you can't make it to a class and you can't get anyone to teach you, just listen to that stuff. Well, actually, there's probably better people to listen to on the internet, but find someone to listen to from who you can... who you can learn Arabic. It's not hard, it's not easy. In fact, just to show how easy it is, last year or 2 years ago, I taught that those textbooks of Darun Na'im to an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old in 8 lessons. Now, it's not usually done like that. Those are pretty bright kids. But if in the context of an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old can do it in 8 lessons, then I'm sure we can do it in 100 lessons. No, I'm not saying pretty dumb, but those are very, very intelligent kids. The reality is that it's not hard. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدَ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ وَلَقَدَ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we have made the Quran easy to take a reminder from. And the only way you're going to take a reminder from the Quran is if you understand the Quran. So thus Allah must have made all the means to taking that reminder from the Quran also easy. So to learn the Arabic is also easy. And I'm telling you that it is easy. That whole row of students there from Cape Town, and almost every Tom, Dick and Harry in Cape Town, they are learning Arabic. Because alhamdulillah, it's become very accessible. And hopefully it will become that accessible here as well. But it's easy. And you can ask all of them, it's easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it's easy, so it's easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِكْرِ So make your intention that I want to learn the Arabic language so that I can take a reminder from the Quran and it will be easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of that verse beautifully. Just remember that, لِلذِكْرِ Don't learn Arabic so that you can go speak to Arabs. They don't even speak proper Arabic. Don't learn Arabic so that you can read newspaper articles or anything like that. Learn Arabic or so that you can watch Arabic soap operas or something like that. Learn Arabic because you want to take a reminder from the Quran. Allah promised you then that He made it easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ There was a 70-year-old man in my class. In fact, there's a 70-year-old man in 2 years below me at the Dar al-Ulum now. He was in the first batch of students that I took. He's nearly 70 years old. So, let us be ashamed if we are not 70 years old and we are not learning. But he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِكْرِ We have made the Qur'an easy to take a reminder from. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ Is there anyone that will take the effort to take a reminder from that Qur'an? Is there anyone that will do that? فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ And I leave you with a question for yourself. Will you be the one to say, Oh Allah, I am the one that will put in that effort to take a reminder from this Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us be those that are always ready to gain ilm that will take us to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I just have a small notice here. Can he mention that Quran Arabic classes are offered at Darut Turath al-Islami in Johannesburg? The main branch is in Cape Town. I actually taught for them last year as well. They also teach the Darun Na'im syllabus. Crosby, Saturday mornings. So there, it's available to you guys over here as well. It's easy. I promise you it's easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ